Good evening. Good to be with you, beloved. We're going to begin our study this evening in reading from chapter 9 of the Gospel of Matthew and verse 35. Let's just read that portion. On to chapter 10, verse 4. Drifted to verse 6 just for the sake of connection. I will not coach anybody's portion, but I just need to read that portion also. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were faint and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Chapter 10. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Zebedeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and unto any city of the Samaritans enter not. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, what we have before us, it shows that the Lord Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy concerning his first advent as prophesied by Isaiah. And I just want to go back and read that, because this chapter, this verse 35, tells us that the Lord Jesus was fulfilling that ministry. In chapter 61 of Isaiah, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for the Lord hath anointed me with tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Verse 25 says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. Also in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 4, we find that the Lord Jesus turned to that portion in Isaiah 61, and he read it, and he suspended the reading at the point where it says to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he did not continue beyond that, because that other portion belonged to his second advent. Their vengeance did not take place in the first the first advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. That will happen at his second advent. So he suspended the reading at the acceptable year of the Lord in Luke chapter 4. Then he said to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear." The Lord Jesus fulfilling prophecy concerning himself, and he always pointed to fulfillment of scripture. If it was an objection by the disciples or something he was about to do, he would say that the scripture might be fulfilled. One other thing I want to point concerning fulfillment of his ministry. When John was locked up in prison in Matthew chapter 11, and John was somewhat discouraged, John sent two of his disciples to inquire of the Lord Jesus. And this is what he said. Now when John had heard, verse 2 of chapter 11, in the prison, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye hear and see." What are those things? The very things that we have in Isaiah chapter 61, and the very thing that the Lord Jesus spoke about, saying the scriptures fulfilled in your ears in Luke chapter 4. What are those things? The blind that we see there, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised. This just happened one chapter earlier, two portions of it, as a matter of fact. The dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The fulfillment of the prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus in his first advent. Now, the Lord Jesus is citing a problem here in this portion that we have before us, that all his disciples, problem of the scarcity of laborers and also the need for those that he is sending for to go. When he saw the multitude, verse 36 is the next verse, he was moved with compassion. Now this is a trait that the Lord Jesus manifested during his earthly ministry. This word, compassion. It's not the first time, it's not the last time. When he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were bound and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The word compassion really means to have pity. This is a feeling of distress to the ills of others. The Lord would move with compassion. He saw them as sheep. Is that a more sad picture of a sheep without a shepherd? They can't even find their way back home. It's a sad picture. They were faint. They needed help. That's what he saw as he looked on the multitude. And it would seem to me, beloved, that we need to look through the eyes of the Lord. We see things, but we don't see them through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the multitude. We see them, and sometimes we resent them. Sometimes we don't have empathy. That's the new word, empathy, for the suffering of people. But the Lord Jesus did. And he wants us to look on them. One poet puts it this way. He says, Let me look on the crowd as my Savior did. Till my eyes with tears grew dim. Let me view with pity the wandering sheep and love them for love of Him. All that we might look through the eyes of the Lord, because He sees not as man seeth, He told Samuel. For man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion. And that's what's lacking so much among God's people today. We don't have that compassion for souls. We are very judgmental very often, and we don't have that heart that yearns for them in their varied needs. But the Lord saw a problem. He saw a problem. He said unto the disciples, verse 37, the harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. I want to suggest that problem still persists today. Still persists today. If we could only look as the Lord looked, we would see what He sees, what He saw then. And then we would ask ourselves, am I willing? Am I a laborer? We have a lot of loiterers, but not laborers. We have a lot of people singing, some of our voices standing on the promises, but we are sitting on the premises. We're not going out. We're not moving out. We don't have that passion, because we're not looking through the eyes of the Lord Jesus. He saw the multitude. He saw the problem. Problem was great. Harvest there. You know, if you have a harvest and you don't have laborers, what's going to happen? The fruit is going to spoil. What the land brought forth is going to spoil. It's not going to get to the people who need it. So we have to be part of that labor force. We have to have the attitude of the prophet Isaiah when he saw the Lord, and he had that passion, and he confessed his sin. He was not worthy in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord says, "Who will go for us?" We have to make ourselves available. It's not Him. It's not wish the Lord would send Him. He said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." It's about being available. He saw the multitude. The harvest is still ripe and ready for harvest, beloved. The question is, are we ready to go? We're going to look at his commission. He asked them to pray, verse 38, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. It's not that we are in a position to send anyone. We don't send laborers. We pray to the Lord of the harvest. Who is the Lord of the harvest? There are different schools of thought. Some say that the Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest. It's the Lord Jesus Himself. The Lord Jesus said in chapter 15 of John that I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. He is the vine dresser. So He is He is the Lord of the harvest. There is a commission. There's a commission. Before we get to the commission, praying is important. Praying to the Lord of the harvest that he will empower laborers. This seems to be, should be a burden for us, not only to see them through the eyes of the Lord, but to really want to be part and parcel of the labor force, because the laborers are few. They were few then, still few today in our time. Then he called unto him, we go over to chapter 10, called unto him his disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits, cast them out in, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We know the names of the apostles. I don't think it would do us any good to go through these names. We know them all, unless someone has some particular insight into the names of these apostles. But he commissioned them, and we would see that his mission was a limited commission. But before I get into that, I just want to pause right here and see if anyone has anything to add to what I have said concerning the compassion of the Lord, concerning the harvest, and concerning what we see and how we should be moved before we move on in the next phase.
One of the commentators that I happened to notice when I was reading had an interesting comment. He said, I'm going to paraphrase, he basically said it's rather hypocritical to pray for the Lord to send laborers into the harvest if we're not willing to listen and have him say, you go.
Absolutely. Great point. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a great observation. Yeah. We must be available ourselves, you know. This may sound a little humorous, but you know, in U.S. arsenal, we have that weapon we call the ABM, the anti-ballistic missile. And I think in the Christian arsenal, we pray and we want everybody to go, but anybody but me, ABM as well. It's just by the way, but we must be available. Hear my, send me, and the Lord says go. The Lord says.
You know, Rudy, it's interesting that, you know, the Lord is looking at this group of people, and they're weary and they're scattered, and they're like sheep who have no shepherd. The bottom line is nothing has changed.
Yeah.
People are still exactly the same. I mean, we drive cars now, we live in fancy homes, and but we all have the same issues. Nothing has changed. And it's also interesting that the Lord says, you know, pray the Lord of the harvest for him to send laborers into his harvest. And then, you know, we learn from Luke in 6:12 that he goes onto a mountain, right? Mm-hmm. And he prays. All night long, he prays.
Yeah.
And then he comes back, and he basically recruits these 12 to go into the harvest and be laborers.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they barely got off their knee about praying about sending laborers into the harvest, and the Lord says, okay, well, you guys. I thought that was interesting.
Yes, yeah, it was their responsibility. They were walking with the light. He was the Lord, and he commissioned them. And not only in this portion, not only did he commission them, but he empowered them. You know, he empowered them. He gave them authority to cast out demons, to do things that no other man can do, only the Lord can do. And he kind of gave them that authority, that power to heal diseases as well. You know, 20th century, if your neighbors were.
You know, he also, I picked up in the verse prior to verse 35, verse 34, Pharisees had to put in their two cents and said he cast out demons by the rule of the demons. Or do he goes to cities and villages and he he heals every sickness and every disease among the people.
Yes.
Yeah, just almost to spite them, you know. I mean, he, and then of course he gives that same power to the disciples, and not only that, but to also raise the dead. So yeah, I just thought that was interesting as well.
Yeah, well, that's what was prophesied of him, and other people had certain powers, but they weren't able to delegate that kind of power to someone else. Only the Lord Jesus could do that.
You know, one of the things which the Lord Jesus Christ has done here, as this brother Rudy has read this in Matthew 11, when he said, go tell John, or go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now the purpose of the Lord telling the disciples to go talk to John and tell him, is that, listen, the Lord wanted to make it very clear that he's clearly the Messiah. He's the one who has been sent. And not just he himself has performed all these things. Even his own disciples, the apostles, have been given the power. And they have, listen, healed the lame, listen, and listen, they've done miracles. And all the same miracles have been performed, and the gospel has been preached. And what the Lord Jesus Christ also did was very early on when he talked about the healing of the paralytic man. That the Lord Jesus Christ talked about the forgiveness of sin, and when he performed the miracle, he said, in 9 verse 6, but that ye may know that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. And that was the real purpose. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saw the people and had compassion, he saw their sinful state. He was very sad. He saw them lost, sheep which are lost, and no shepherd, did not know where to go. And the Messiah came, but they did not acknowledge him. And this, even though he was rejected, and yet he had compassion. He was more concerned about the sinful state of the people than just their illnesses and their incapabilities and their infirmities. But yet, that passion was what he came to earth to do. And that's the same thing that he is calling for laborers, calling for you and I to join him in this work, in his work. No, we add nothing to it, but yet he's willing to call us to join him in this work in saving souls.
All right. If it's okay with you, everyone, I'm going to skip over the apostles. That's someone has a comment about these apostles. I'm going to skip over and just get down to look at verse 5. I'm just going to link this with what I have to say. I'm not really getting into somebody else's territory here. The commission. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and unto any city of the Samaritans enter not. I call this a limited commission. It was not for everyone. The message was the gospel, and the gospel is only is always good news. It was the gospel of the kingdom. He was sending them to announce that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, that the king was present, and the gospel, the kingdom was at hand by virtue of the presence of the king. It was at hand by virtue of the presence of the king. And he was offering himself to Israel only, as their king. Why Israel? Why only Israel? Well, it was to them that God made the covenant. God made a covenant with them. And he had come to fulfill that covenant. His mission was to the Jew first, always to the Jew first. So he sent them forth. And he says, you need to go only. This would seem baffling to us just on the surface, only to the lost sheep, the house of Israel. When you think of it, when the Lord Jesus came, he came unto his own. His own things, his own people, and his own people received him. They stumbled over him. And there were those who, most of them did not recognize who he was. You never hear a Pharisee during the ministry of the Lord Jesus referring to him as one of David. Yet here is in chapter 15, here is this Syrophoenician woman. She was a Gentile, but she was more than just a Gentile. She was a Canaanite. She had a daughter that was sick, and she, chapter 15 of Matthew, and she said, she went to the Lord and she addressed him as son of David, and it was not up to her to call him the son of David, because she was not part of the covenanted people. He was not her Messiah. And he sort of was silent towards her, and his disciple says, better send her away because she's a nuisance. And the Lord Jesus said, listen, lady, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was saying to her, you have no right to call me son of David. You are not part of the covenanted people. I am not your Messiah. But she was a woman of faith, and she said, you are right, Lord, but I am your creature, and I'm calling you Lord. You created me as such. I'm asking you to heal. And he told her the story, you know, the story of the Gentile, the dogs, and such. And she denied. He says, Lord, that's the truth. Well, everything you are saying is true. But the dogs wait under the table for some crumbs that would fall from the master's table. That was a tremendous statement of faith. She really believed in who he was. And the Lord Jesus, he recognized that this was a statement of faith. And she realized, I'm not entitled as a, because I'm outside the commonwealth of Israel. I'm not part of the covenant of the promise. But I can have some crumbs. I can have some crumbs. Oh, what a faith. And if we could only take that place, recognizing that we were not entitled to anything. It's all because of grace. Grace that has brought us in. And the Lord Jesus educated this woman. And she accepted it, and she recognized that she was not worthy and she asks him for some crumb. And that's the way you and I come in, beloved. We were not worthy. Not worthy of anything. Paul said to the Ephesians, you were not part of the covenants of promise. He said, in time past, so you were lost. You were without God and without Christ in the world. Ephesians in chapter 2. He said, you had no claim in the commonwealth of Israel. But now, what a change. That little word, but, changes everything. But now, you ones who are far off, you who were Gentile dogs, you were uncircumcised, because that's what you're called by the circumcision. You're called uncircumcised. You were far off, now you are made near. So you're sent to the lost of the house Israel. I'm sure you got something to say about that.
You know, there's a verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. Romans chapter 10 and verse 11. It says, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and contrary people. And it, you know, our God had intended to save Israel. He was the Messiah sent for the nation of Israel. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah sent, and yet Israel received him not. Israel rejected. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and because, you know, in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, it says, for I will not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So like what Brother Rudy said, listen, it was because of the blindness of Israel, they rejected the Messiah, and now salvation is available to all Gentiles as well. And we, the wild olive branches, have been grafted into the good olive tree. And listen, we have been reconciled to God. And we have made this, our salvation is made possible to us because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. And yet, listen, when it was offered to the nation of Israel, they rejected him. They despised him. They call him the false prophet, and they crucified him. Now, how sad it is for the nation of Israel who rejected the Messiah, their Savior, the King.
I want to spend the next 2 minutes, the closing moments that we have left, and three simple words based on the commission. And this commission that the Lord Jesus issued here, I said it was limited in scope, and it differs so much from the Great Commission. This was limited to the lost sheep of Israel, and it was turning the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. But the Lord Jesus, in the Great Commission, he included all. This is, he included all. There are three words I believe that sums up the whole missionary enterprise. The first one I want to look at is in John 4:35. It says, look unto the field. They're white, all ready to harvest. And that's where we began to, Jesus looked. He saw the multitude. And when we look through his eyes, we would see what he is seeing, and he wants us to look into the field. You know, we have so many examples in God's Word with men who looked. And they were looking with a different perspective. You know, when Lot was separated from Abraham, he looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan, and he saw an opportunity to make a great living. And he chose. But God said to Abraham, now you look. You look to the north, you look to the south, you look to the east, and you look to the west, and I will give you. Lot chose, but God gave Abraham. Lot went to Sodom, and he built a house. Abraham stayed in Mamre, and he built an altar. Perspective. It depends on what you're looking. Lot had a position down in Sodom, a great a judge. He sat in the gate. Abraham looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is. Look on the field. They're white already. Also in Mark chapter 6, Jesus saw many people again, and he had compassion. We're told by the Apostle Paul that we're not to look on our own things, Philippians 2 and 4, but to look also on the things of others. People have need. We need to understand that they have needs, and we're not to just take things at face value, as did Samuel when he saw the first son of David's father. He saw the first son of Kish, David's father, the Bethlehemite, and he says, "Surely the Lord's anointed is with us." And God said, "Not so fast." David looked at him. He had all the qualities. He was well built. Physically fit, tall and handsome. God said no. Because what man sees not as God sees. God, man looks at the outward appearance and God looks at the heart. God was not looking for a tall, strong, handsome man. He was looking for a man after his own heart. David was that man. He was not even in consideration. It depends on what you are looking for. God said to Abraham, "Lift up now your eyes and look." And look. You know, later on, Abraham looked at the same place where Lot looked, but Lot saw his green, well-watered plains. Abraham saw that place going up in smoke, the same direction. It all depends on what we are looking for. Then he said to pray. We went through that earlier. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers in his house. We spent some time on that already, so I don't think we would spend any more time, except that the Lord Jesus said that men are always pray and not to faint. If you want to see change, if you want to really see change, meaningful change that would affect the society for good, then believers got to start praying. Got to start praying and believing. When Paul the Apostle had that vision to go to Europe for the first time, there were obstacles because he wanted to go to Asia, and God said, "No, you go to Europe." He had that, what we call the Macedonian call. And they determined, because they believed, they were fully persuaded, according to Acts 16, that God had all of them to preach the gospel to the people of Macedonia. We pray, and God can use you. You see, when God sent Ananias to Saul after his conversion on the Damascus Road, what he was doing, he says, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Go to that place, for behold, prayer. Then he says to go. That's the next word I want. He said to go. Not now to the lost sheep of Israel. But before his ascension, he said, Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations. Now it's all inclusive. This is the gospel of the grace of God. What he said here in our passage was the gospel of the kingdom, announcing the kingdom. Here it is, the gospel of the grace of God, and it's the gospel to all. Go ye there, go ye into all the world, according to Mark 16:15, to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not just the Jews. And it went to the Jews first. You know, according to Romans, it is for the Jew first, but it was for all men into all the world and preach the gospel. For whosoever, Jew and Gentile, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Romans 10 says, how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? He has sent us. He said, Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So this is the Great Commission. This is not limited. This is to all the world, all mankind. All needs to hear the gospel because he died for all. So it's look, it's pray, and it's go. Anybody else?
There were some really great points there, Bertie. And I know you wanted to skip over the names of the disciples, but I just can't help but look at this list of these characters. Having the will to go and the heart to go and all. Look at what God chose to spread his gospel. I mean, Peter, a terrible fisherman and even a swordsman, right?
Yeah.
Somebody who would deny the Lord 3 times. You look at James and John. These guys wanted to fry everybody that didn't believe the way they believed. Or, right. You know, call lightning and thunder down. And Philip, right? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?
That's the problem. That's the same as Nathaniel. I think that's the problem. Yeah.
And of course Matthew, right? Thomas the doubter, right? And then of course Simon the Zealot. I mean, all these characters, these had all flaws in their character. Yeah. God chose these men to do his great work. So I look at us. And what is my excuse? Right? I won't say our excuse. What's my excuse for not being available? I guess that's maybe the best term. But it's always amazed me that when the Lord went on that mountain, he prayed for all night long, and then he came and he chose the men. I have no idea what he prayed. I'm not even going to try to guess what that was, but that he prayed for these men, but it's just what a motley crew that Lord chose, and they, these were great men of faith, and they had a heart to do the work, and most of them all died of martyrdom.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have great qualifications.
No.
So a willing heart.
Willingness, laborers.
Yeah. Yeah, just a laborer.
You know what caught my eyes here is verse 4, he chose a Canaanite Canaanite was among them. No, that's grace. That's a super abounding grace. He reached out to a Canaanite and chose him. And Paul the Apostle took this up. He says in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, not many noble, not many great ones. I heard a story of a very wealthy, well-to-do noble woman. Said she was saved by the letter M, because it's a good thing he said not many, because if he had said not any, then she would be lost. But she said not many. Cheryl Canaanite. And those are good observations, you made, Steve.